Okay.
They're doing
it right now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, how are you doing all over
there? No. I'm recorded, Mr. Chairman.
I was recorded, no.
We got him in a minute. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, committee members. And as the chairman indicated, this is a project that's been before you, those of you that are veterans on the committee, before. We were up last year. We're asking for inclusion in the bonding bill for $2 million for the water project for southwest Minnesota. The Lewis and Clark Water Project is a three-state project with strong federal backing to bring needed drinking water and water into an area that, believe it or not, is a deficit area. It's hard to believe that in a state of over 15,000 lakes, we've got an area that is deficit of quality water. For an example, Rock County, to my knowledge, is the only county in the state that doesn't have a lake. And even though Pipestone County in my area also does not have a natural lake, it does have a small man-made lake. So we are in desperate straits for water. The Lewis and Clark Water Project would bring in water for about 200,000 people in the southeast South Dakota, northwest Iowa, and southwest Minnesota. Currently, we're stymied for economic development in the area. We've had several cases where the city of Worthington, city of Laverne, Pipestone County has had to turn away economic development possibilities because we just don't have a quality water supply. It also is inhibiting the growth in the livestock industry. We've got several people included in the Pipestone-Lincoln water system, not only affecting just Pipestone County and into Nobles County, but also as far north as Dawson, Minnesota, extending north from my area. So the livestock industry, we need to expand, but in many cases we're not able to do that in our area because of lack of a quality water supply. My area also was known throughout the state as Ag Alley. We have an ethanol plant. We have a poultry processing plant in Laverne. We have the largest pork processing plant in the United States in Worthington with Swift Company Killing, processing about 18,000 hogs a day. We have a biodiesel plant and a soybean refinery plant. We have two new ethanol plants going up in this area. But we are really desperate for water. As we look at our future in ag processing, without this water source, we're frankly stymied in getting any more ag processing to add value to the agriculture products that we produce. Again, this is a very large project. It's nearly $400 million total when you combine the three states. The funding for the Lewis and Clark Water Project is a bit unique in the fact that it's 80% of the funding would come from the federal level, 10% would come from the local levels or the local partnerships that are established, and then 10% from the state. We have very strong support from the national congressional delegation. We've had Congressman Gutnick, Congressman Kennedy, Congressman Peterson, both senators from Minnesota are strong advocates of this program. The president recently, last December, signed appropriation of $17 million for federal funding to start this program. Of course, when we look at, I think a fair question to ask when we look at capital investment proposals is this a regional benefit to the region, and has regional significance, and certainly this program does, Mr. Chair. So, in conclusion, Mr. Chair and committee members, the $2 million bonding request is in the governor's bonding bill. It's in the Senate bill that was passed recently, and we're asking for it to be included in the House bill.
Okay. Any questions from members? Representative Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Magnus, on the map it shows that this is kind of a multi-state project. How are the mechanics of a bonding proposal sort of shared when it's a multi-state project?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Bradley, The way it's set up is that Minnesota is going to fund about 11% of the project. That's about what our makeup is. As we develop the project in Minnesota, of course, we need funding in here. One of the reasons why we're asking for accelerated funding is because with the inflation factors in there, if the sooner we get our money in, and I understand that Iowa now has got it is fully funded in Iowa. They've got the money set aside. As soon as we get the money in, the federal government, with the language in the project, will assume the inflationary cost. That's another reason why we're coming in now asking for this kind of funding. With the bonding bill, the way we have to do bonding projects in Minnesota, there has to be construction in Minnesota to access the bonding funds. So we're looking at constructing currently part of the project in Minnesota. When we have a very desperate need in the area, I'm not sure if it's on your map, I don't have the copy of it in hand, but an area east of Laverne, extending nearly to Worthington, we need to put a pipeline in there so they can access the water that we currently have. And also they're looking at doing a water tower in both Worthington and Laverne that is needed to get the infrastructure in place to handle this.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Representative Westenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Magnus, as far as I noticed that this appropriation is for the first phase of the state share, so does that mean that this is going to be requiring additional funds?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Westenberg, yes. The total Minnesota share would be about $4.5 million. So we're in now for $2 million, and with the thoughts of going back for another $2.5 million. I would add, Mr. Chairman, that Representative Dorman was in the area last week and had signed on as co-author of the bill for the bonding funds, and we heard a presentation from the Lewis and Clark delegation, I'm convinced that Representative Dorman is supportive of the project, and I would not be surprised to see us come back again very soon for the other $2.5 million.
Any other questions? Representative Clark. You're kind of from that area, aren't you?
Kenneth is the name of the town that's between the two water towers that Representative Bangs is talking about, and I have a question along that line. I know, because of the contamination of many of the wells in that area from agricultural pesticides and other sort of things, I know my own family cannot use their well anymore, and they get what's called rural water from another. It's another organization providing water, and it's actually between the two water towers you're talking about. So I'm just wondering, is there any cooperation or tie-in with the whole rural water association? Now, this, Mr. Chairman, as I understand this, and I know this is where my dad's water comes from. It comes down from up around Lake Wilson or somewhere up there.
From Holland.
Okay, and so it's a whole water system that people who used to be able to use their own wells now have to hook up into. So I'm just wondering, what is there a tie between the Lewis and Clark and this, or are they competing, or how does that work?
Representative Mr. Chair and Representative Clark, you're correct, and there's three entities that make up the program, and there's four really. There's the city of Laverne, there's Rock County Rural Water, the city of Worthington, and Lincoln Pipestone Rural Water System. And what they would do, the water coming out of this, coming out of Lewis and Clark, out of wells near the Missouri River, would be treated in the treatment plants down there. It would come up then and would be mixed with the water they currently have that is also treated in the rural water, right. Systems. So it's a case of we're going to be blending that water with the existing water in the rural water systems and in the city of Worthington and the city of Laverne. So yes, your system would be hooked right into this.
You mean they're sharing common pipes and all that?
They would be, Mr. Chairman, Representative Clark, yes, they would be going directly into those systems.
One final question, does this drive down or drive up the cost of water for these consumers? What can you tell me that I'm voting for here?
Representative Meg,
Mr. Chairman, Representative Clark, that I don't know. That's a question I don't know. We're in such a spot for water. We've looked at all the other alternatives. The Lewiston Water Project has been through all of the DNR requirements. They've drilled countless wells there and looked at every other alternative they can look at, and this is the cheapest, most economical and reasonable program that we could find.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Clark.
I don't doubt that there's been every effort made. I guess I would be interested to know, maybe if you can find out what the impact on the consumers would be, just so...
When his testifier finally shows up, we'll make sure
he
gets you that information.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm going to somewhat follow up on Representative Bradley's question. I know that a few years back, Lewis and Clark had gotten through the bonding process and had been awarded some money. There was some concerns about which part was owned by the state and which part was owned by the conglomerate of the three-state compact, whatever they're called, and you weren't allowed to use the bonding money because of the state law. Could you, and I don't need it here, but could you have the Lewis and Clark people forward me kind of a breakdown of the cost of the total $4.5 million in the state here and what they're using it on, whether it's the water tower, the pipes, or whatever, and just so that I know, and because I'm on that, I think there's others that are on the bonding committee, and I know this is an important project for the southwestern part of the state, and I want to make sure that it doesn't happen. We don't have the same problems we had 2 years ago. This is something that needs to get done.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Mahoney, what happened prior to my tenure here is they did have a request in for $600,000. Some years ago, and did get a bonding approved for bonding monies for that. The problem came in at that time as it was there was no state projects for the bonding money to be used. So that bonding money was turned back. 2 years ago, I did come to the legislature and ask for about $183,000 of general fund money to get the project kicked off. So that's what happened with the bonding bill. But I'll get those numbers to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions? Seeing no other questions, we'll roll this House File 123 over for possible consideration in our omnibus bonding priorities.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. You did a great job without the guy being here.
I've done this one a few times. Yeah, so.
Representative Murphy, are you ready?
I am.
Why don't we go? We'll get you going. Yeah, but I think it's people here. Yeah. Welcome to our committee, Representative Murphy. And, Representative Nelson will move House File 98 for possible consideration of bonding priorities.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee members, for listening to our proposal once again. House File 98 requests money from the state to match funds from the local community to meet basic infrastructure needs of the City of Duluth and Western Lakes Superior Sanitary District and the region and the nation. The Environmental Protection Agency has issued an administrative order which requires the City of Duluth and the Western Lake Superior Sanitary District to take all steps necessary to address overflow infiltration conditions. If we fail to do so on a timely basis, the FDA or the EPA will impose a moratorium on development, which means a reduction of business activity and erosion of the tax base. That affects not just Duluth, but our whole region and the state. I have with me Mark Winson from the City of Duluth, and Kurt Soderberg, the director of Western Lake Superior Sanitary District, who are here to testify and give you compelling reasons for the need of this money.
Can't wait.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Winson.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Well, before we start, if Representative Murphy could remind me and refresh my memory, this passed out of Representative Klinke in Representative Klinke's bonding bill last year, didn't it?
It did indeed, and Representative Mahoney, it is the first priority of all the legislators of northeastern Minnesota.
So, and Mr. Chair, Representative Krenke thought it was a good idea and passed it from his binding bill. I certainly hope it's got good legs this year.
Should have a pretty smooth slope, shouldn't it? Mr. Winsen.
Thank you, Chair Gunther. Members, thank you for this opportunity. I want to thank Representative Murphy for bringing this forward. Most of the people up here before you talk about critical needs, and we absolutely have to have, and Representative Murphy, I believe, has told you we're going to give you compelling reasons. So what I'm going to do is quickly and briefly recite for you a series of facts that, of things that have occurred. For those of you who have been to Duluth, you know that it is mostly built on a hill. That hill is comprised of bedrock and clay soils. Most of those homes have basements. A combination of bedrock and clay soils creates a condition in which people have water in their basements. The first 100 years of development in Duluth, and as allowed by law, those folks put in foundation drains and connect those to the sanitary sewer system. 1975, they couldn't do that anymore. But as you can imagine, most of Duluth was developed before 1975. During a rainfall or snowmelt event, that water collects in those drains, hits the sanitary sewer system, and because of that steep hill, dropped quickly towards Lake Superior. These conditions cause overflows in which sewage that has not been treated by WLSSD ends up entering into the streams and ultimately into Lake Superior. About 10 years ago, the city embarked on a process of trying to disconnect those foundation drains, and they did it through a grant program that is funded by sewer charges. In that period of time, probably close to $15 million has been spent to disconnect that water at its source, that is in the individual homes. This has resulted in Duluth having the highest sewer rates in the state, and last time I heard, second highest in the Midwest. It is cheaper to disconnect or eliminate this at source in the individual homes. Unfortunately, in order to do that, it's going to take probably 25 to 30 years to get through every home that has a foundation drain, because we are able to do about 500 a year. In late 2003, the Environmental Protection Agency issued an administrative order on the City of Duluth and WLSSD, as Representative Murphy spoke, to take all actions to eliminate those overflows. We think it's critical to eliminate those overflows. We have Lake Superior, one of the greatest resources available to the state of Minnesota. Jointly with WSSD, the city has submitted a plan to the EPA, and under that plan, we're attempting to have the EPA agree that if we can get this done in 10 to 12 years, we will have completed what we need to do. In order to get it done in that amount of time, unfortunately, we're going to have to add storage. These will be millions of $2 million gallon storage tanks located at various strategic locations around the city, and they're not cheap. We have projected that if we were to do all of this construction on our own through our sewer rates, we would raise our already highest sewer rates in the state by over 33%. We will do that if we need to, but we're asking the state to consider helping the City of Duluth, WLSSD, and the whole Northeast region by funding a 50-50 match, a $10 million storage facility within the City of Duluth. Those are essentially the facts I have. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them, and perhaps Mr. Soderberg has a couple of comments.
I'm a problem. We're looking to seek funding to alleviate some of that. Along with that, one of the proposals and the one we're going for today, and hoping that you would be so generous, we actually have three phases of funding that is requested. The first phase is the actual outer part of the Black Bear exhibit. It includes three different enclosures. The outer two will be grass. The middle will be a concrete enrichment area with a pool. The neatest thing about this whole exhibit is the public will be able to view this exhibit through 9 5-by-6 windows. The concrete will only be 2 feet up, so people in handicaps and strollers will be able to view the bears right up close and will be able to see them without having to be trying to get over any type of a railing. That first The first phase would cost about $240,000. The second phase, which will cost about $374,000, is a multi-purpose building, and that will connect to this outer exhibit. It's two-story. The lower story will be with the bear dens. It'll also house other amphibians that will have to be housed indoors and not in our climate here in Minnesota, such as turtles and other amphibians. The second story, one of the problems we've had at the zoo is we don't have a proper facility for taking care of our animals when it's cold outside. We have nothing indoors. If we have a sick or an injured animal, we have to take care of them with our veterinarians out in the cold. So this second story would house a veterinary facility with quarantine rooms. It would also house offices along with a proper animal care or animal preparation facility. It's nothing extravagant, but it would certainly get us by and would be of utmost importance for the zoo, and safety for the animals and the care is definitely one of our big concerns. The third phase is about $198,000, and it is to do our pathways of the zoo. It would include lighting and trails along our zoos. We have about 2,100 feet of the pathways at the zoo. Right now it is all gravel. And again, it's real difficult for them to try and get through the zoo and enjoy our nature that's out there. As mentioned earlier, the taxpayers of Little Falls are not the only ones supporting the zoo. Civic clubs, community members have pledged their support through fundraising. And there is a page in here on page 19 that has, and I wanted to point this out to make sure that you didn't have a misunderstanding of this. It's this page right here, and you'll notice in the corner here there's a graph that says $50,000. That's not the funding we need for the bear exhibit. That is the funding that the Pine Grove Zoological Society is donating for the bear exhibit. That was their original. They have now doubled that to $100,000 that they are raising for this exhibit. So I wanted to be sure and point that out and not have it misunderstood, that is all we would need for this exhibit. The hole that's behind there is actually where the exhibit will go. Also, like I said, education, regional education is the reason that we're there. We've increased dramatically in numbers through our outreach programs and on-site programs, through schools that are listed in the back of your pamphlets there. We cover just about 50 right now. We, like I said, it was a free admission zoo. These schools come through us throughout the year. We did over between 2,000 and 3,000 in May alone last year. We reach a huge, huge number of children, not just in Little Falls. We hit Brainerd, St. Cloud. We actually have had groups now from Minneapolis come up, and we do programs for them also. They take advantage of that. We're small, but we hit them with a punch, so to speak. The last thing that we do, we don't educate just elementary children. We have an internship partnership with St. Cloud State University, and their biology, DNR, and zoological students come, and they actually do internship programs through our zoo throughout the summer. So we are expanding and trying to do it in a very little budget. So anything that you would suggest would be profitable. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Representative Slough.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the testifier. I have a question. It's an interesting project. I didn't know there was a zoo in Little Falls. And I was wondering about the local match. A lot of bonding requests have a local match. Is there a local match provided? And along with that, could you talk about, I see there's the thermometer, and it looks like you're raising money on the side, but how your fundraising efforts are going?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, actually, yes, I can let Mr. Carlson say how much we've got. We've done really well. The Lions Clubs in town have pledged over $40,000 for the bear exhibit alone. We've actually now started having schools send in numbers, dollar amounts, you know, that is specifically for the bear exhibit. The Friends of the Zoo, like I said, have pledged $100,000. Mm-hmm. I believe they've now given a little over $40,000. So we're well on our way to helping to match any proceeds you may find redeemable.
But, Mr. Chair, is there any specific local match requirement, though? Typically, if we're going to give some, is there a certain...
I'll let Mr. Carlson.
Mr. Carlson.
Sure, Mr. Chair. And Representative Clark. Absolutely. The city is proposing to match, and Camp Ripley has also been very good to us. I want to emphasize that what we have used Camp Ripley in the past, and they've done some things. The city council has talked about this, a match of about 50% we'd be able to match on this. We've also, every year, the city contributes $100,000 to the zoo, plus we put in capital improvements of $500,000. So, there is a significant city contribution that goes into the zoo.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
Representative Slowick.
In case I ever get up to the zoo, I'm Slowick and
oh,
not Clark,
sorry.
But that's all right.
I can't. How big is Little Falls, population-wise?
8,000.
8,000. What kind of Lions Club you have? Got 40,000.
We have about 100,000 families that go through the zoo in a year.
Wow. Representative Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Carlson, is that right?
Yes.
You mentioned there was an organization that approves zoos. Is there a reason why you weren't, and could you be?
We could be AZA approved. It's a national organization. It would require a significant investment by the city. We would have to make significant improvements to the zoo, double fence the entire zoo. We'd have to add more staff to the zoo, and it would just be a financial hardship to, at this point, be AZA approved.
Maybe Brainerd and Baxter could help.
Mr. Chair, would you like to move that to the Brainerd Baxter area?
Everything moves to Baxter, doesn't it?
Mr. Chairman, I think if there's committee members here in the Jobs Economic Development Committee that have not been to Little Falls and had the opportunity to visit the zoo, I think I would be willing to wager that anybody who would have the chance to stroll the grounds that are at our wonderful zoo would love to move it to their own district or their own community there. But it is a fantastic little secret in some ways for a lot of people, but I think on the other hand, we have great participation, not only regionally, but as Marnita has shared with you, we have student groups that come from the Twin Cities area that come up to our zoo up there, A, because of cost, and B, because of the uniqueness of the zoo and the facilities that we have up there. But certainly we're looking for some fiscal help here to finish our projects off up there too.
I'll show up if Michelle will give me a tour.
You bet.
Any other questions? Representative Westenberg renews his motion to have House File 186 be laid over for possible consideration of bonding priorities. Thank you very much for a great presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman Gunther and committee members.
Representative House, you got a doubleheader coming with House. Oh, no. Don't worry. Okay. Which one?
Doing 338. We're not doing
340. Okay. Are we,
Mr. Chair?
Representative Westbrook.
Could I move House File 338 for Representative House?
Absolutely. For possible inclusion in a bonding proposal. Representative Halls, tell us about your...
And Mr. Chair?
Yeah, amendment?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Amendment 0005 to get the bill in the shape that the author would like.
Very well. So moved. Would you describe your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, members. I brought Ms. Nancy Larson with me just so I look more cheerful. People always say that I frown too much, but she's got a wonderful smile. As a member of the Capital Investment Committee and someone who watches the Senate Bonding Committee very closely, I'm trying to copy what the Senate is doing and emulate what they're doing and trying to keep numbers and language as close as possible, so that's why the delete all amendment. $14 million and change will be for water pollution control revolving fund and the drinking water revolving fund, and then $30 million would be for the wastewater infrastructure funding plus some money for the administration of that. So the total would be, and I lost the total, where's the amendment? There it is. $45,180,000, Mr. Chairman. And if you look at the Senate bonding bill, that's what they have when they combine those two area issues.
Are you powdering your wig now, too?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Very well. What was that? How about the amendment? What's the number of it? All in favor of moving Amendment A5, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, here. Amendments passed. Describe your bill. Wastewater and drinking water. Pretty easy, isn't it?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think what I described was the amendment, which is now the bill.
Yep.
So I'm ready for
any
questions.
Representative Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Howell, there's just two questions, I think. One is, was this in last year's House bonding bill? And then secondly, this is almost a doubling, it appears, from what I hear about the size of it. But what's the reasoning as far as that big a growth? I understand it matches up with the Senate. But
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bradley, yes, it was in the bonding bill last year. In both the Senate and House bonding bills, unfortunately, you know the history of that. The reason it's higher or different from the governor, now I'll try to touch on this lightly, but what the Senate did was raise the amount of money, and then there's language in the Senate bill for in the wastewater infrastructure part of the bill for many, many specific projects. Now, when we do the wastewater revolving fund, we don't like to dictate what the agency should or shouldn't do, and they have their order. But there are always areas throughout the state that need it and need it quickly. And the Senate has language in their bill that specifies that, and we actually in the House bonding bill had some of these projects in our bill also separate from the wastewater bill. So what we've done, and I'll just give you a quick summary. Aurora Sanitary Sewer, Central Iron Range Sanitary Sewer, Duluth Sanitary Sewer, Mille Lacs Area Sanitary Sewer, Two Harbors, and U.S. Department of Ag Rural Development Corrective Action. There's separate rider language that will be later in the capital investment bill that will target that money specifically.
Mr. Chair, just a quick follow-up.
Madam Bradley.
Just as kind of for instance, would the bill that we heard just a little bit ago from Representative Murphy be a potential that that might be covered by these monies?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bradley, I would imagine that is a potential possibility, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I have a question. How much money will the federal government match? And what is the match for wastewater and drinking water?
Mr. Chair, my name is Nancy Larson. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Association of Small Cities, and I've worked closely with the agencies and with the authors of the bills, and worked hard for the WIF program specifically. There's a variety of ways funding is tied together. The state revolving loan fund, the SRF fund, which is in this bill, is extremely critical because it does generate a lot of federal dollars. I think it's 4-1, and that is a revolving fund. So most cities use that go through the list use that. The wastewater infrastructure fund, or WIF fund, is specifically set aside for grant programs for the generally the smaller, poor communities. Cities and townships throughout the state, and it is tied closely to USDA rural development dollars and how those dollars are allocated. Right now, I'm not sure why, but the agency is saying it can only spend $10 million through that direct WIF program. And we've always said, you know, been for years, we need at least $30 million. And I think that's tied into the federal funds. Terry Kuhlman is back from PFA. He knows more about that. But we are looking at some special cases. There's one that takes care of five communities that got USDA funding and were sort of dictated to put in some alternative systems. And they have not worked. There's sand filters, there's a variety of types of systems that they put in, and so we will be asking for $5 million set aside to take care of those communities to help fix those problems that, you know, the cities did not cause. They were listening to the federal agency. There are also some other special cases that don't fit the criteria, but there is a need because of high costs and sort of desperation lots of times that will probably fall under here but be set aside as not under the direct WIF program, but it will be hopefully in language in the bill. And normally, I just want to add that I have worked really hard to make sure that only communities that fall under the list that the PCA develops gets it, because we don't like politics involved in this. We want to make sure that just because you have a strong legislator, you don't get the funding. But I think there are some exceptions this year, and it is desperate because we didn't have a bonding bill last year. One year we got $30 million in the program that passed, and Governor Ventura vetoed that. And we lost a lot of federal dollars because we did not have that money there. And we do try and tie everything in together, and the agencies do try to work together as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Coleman, could you answer my question for me, please? Why did the governor only put $10 million in it, and how much will the federal government match?
Mr. Chair, if I can address two questions. The state matching funds, which was part of the request, the $14,380,000, that's a 5-to-1 match, $5 of federal money to $1 of state money. And we use our AAA bonding authority. The PFA issues AAA-rated revenue bonds, and literally double that amount or even a little more. I think the average state dollar going into construction is 5 cents on the dollar. So leverage is a lot of money if you want to know the leverage. The Wastewater Infrastructure Fund program actually is a gap financing tool which addresses the real high-cost projects and try to keep those project costs down. You heard Duluth mention $40 sewer rates, extremely high for cities that have any kind of over 5,000 population.
I hate to interrupt you, I really do, but I just want to make sure I'm understanding the dollar figure here.
Mm-hmm.
You said the governor's or the recommendation in the bill at $14,380,000 is a 5-to-1 match, and then with the state bonding meeting you spoke to, and I didn't quite catch it all, doubles that, so we go from $14 million to $71 million to $142 million worth of construction?
Correct.
And those are roughly, okay, thank you.
Yeah. How many projects do we have on the waiting list, and how many projects will that do?
We currently have a little over 200 projects for about $1.7 million, so we'll probably do a little over a tenth.
Of the projects?
So the WIF program, the other side of the request, which was increased from $10 million, which was the governor's right, to $30 million, is really that